Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael Steve Lobb running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve, Rob Bussellary on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
Yo.
Wow. It's going to be a rough one for me. Internet connection has been horrible all night, so.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. I mean, welcome back. It's good to have you in your usual MO, if you will.
Here's what you should be saying. You should say to the people that I'm live remote from Jacksonville right now at the WWE Training Performance Center, and I've got the inside scoop on the WrestleMania matches and who's going to win, and it's going to be an absolute 8-hour shit show. And I'm going to break it down for you, one shitty match at a time. The old and the restless.
Why am I in Jacksonville for the WWE performance?
Whatever.
Orlando.
Orlando.
Well, I mean, realistically, if you, that's actually a pretty timely reference, and I don't know if you meant for it or not to be that way, Rob, but the Jacksonville Jaguars did announce today that they will be playing their 2027 home games in Orlando, Florida. So, I mean, I guess Jacksonville does equal Orlando, at least for some things.
All right, whatever. You know what I meant.
Yeah. Of course.
No, I did not.
Anyways, just say you're on fucking location somewhere. Jesus Christ.
I'm on fucking location somewhere with Jesus Christ.
As here we are. The Randy Orton gimmick from 10 years ago.
So SmackDown, first and foremost, very impressed with Jelly Roll. A singles match for a celebrity on a regular television show. Shit.
Yeah. He's been there like 3 weeks in a row. He's really contributing and moving the storylines forward in an entertaining way.
Yeah, and he'll be involved in WrestleMania some way. So
the thing that's really telling too is just how much he's stepped up. And quite frankly, if you talk to anybody that is in or around the Performance Center, I know that we just kind of made allusions to it, but I mean, Jelly Roll has basically taken up a residency in that area. He's taken it very, very seriously. So it, you know, I know that this has been the case clearly with celebrities that got involved, like Logan Paul ended up being a full-time member of the roster. People like Bad Bunny. It goes to show that when the celebrities go, no pun intended, all in, and they are serious about training and adding to the product instead of just taking some of the clout from the product, it is better for everyone involved.
Yeah, agreed. Couldn't have said it better.
And of course, he took the stunner or the RKO from Randy at the end of the show. This whole buildup between Randy and Cody, just seeing Randy getting more psychotic. Great. It's the end. It's the end of Randy's, you know, big run, right? This is it. This is his last hurrah. And, you know, Lord knows if he stays healthy, you know, past this, I'm sure he'll be taking more days off because he has such a history of injuries. Elsewhere on SmackDown, we finally got these two set up for a no-holds-barred match.
Thank God.
Yeah. which, you know, again, we'll see how creative they actually get, right? You know, are we going to see use of, is it going to be the structured match, or are we going to see them just go around the stadium and try to, you know, do that type of thing, just on a one-on-one.
Trains, planes, and automobiles. They already threw each other off of scaffolding, so why not go all the way?
Yeah. So you want to see them, you want to see them throw each other off the top of Allegiant?
Oh, that'd be awesome. But knowing my luck, my car would be on, you know, Frank Sinatra, excuse me, Dean Martin, and then all of a sudden a fucking, what is he? He's a Samoan guy is going to go through my fucking windshield. Yeah. I don't need that shit. I don't need Jacob Fatu through my goddamn windshield. And then I'm like, oh God, I survived. And then you hear, oh bloody hell. And then bing, Drew McIntyre.
Sign me up for a 20-minute walk and brawl with those two. I think the thing is they've shown that they have enough creativity to where they could make a match like that work. I hadn't even thought about that, Michaels, but just by you mentioning that, yeah, I would love to see that. Have them brawl throughout the arena, you know, have it be technically one of the first matches and have it not finish. Have them brawl to the back and, you know, not have the match end necessarily. That would be a pretty good concept.
So you want Maven versus Undertaker?
Jeez.
No. You know what I want to see? It's been exactly 30 years since the backlot brawl at WrestleMania 12. So I want to see footage of a white Ford Bronco being chased.
And then a fucking gold Cadillac right on top of that, yep, too, you know? Absolutely.
Yep. We can see it. That would be great. And then we got this, which I think is fucking brilliant. Sammy, you have no opportunity to be in WrestleMania. He looks dejected, and then all of a sudden he gets the thought, wait a minute, open challenge. Fuck yeah. And the way it played out, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, right now it's a one-on-one. And just looking, there's a lot of one-on-ones. So I wouldn't be surprised if Carmelo gets thrown into the mix.
I could see that. The only thing that I would say is if you're really wanting to make Trick Williams, then I think they've set the stage pretty perfectly for it. Sami Zayn definitely will be somebody, if they're wanting to put that title on Trick, get him over even more than he already is with the audience, then I think that is a great play. You know, crown him the new champion at WrestleMania, have Sammy make him look strong, which by default he's going to do. Sammy is, he's always been known for being able to get the absolute most out of his opponents, but also put his opponents over like $1 million. So right. I think that this is the best possible situation for Trick Williams to be in if it stays a singles match.
If it's right. A triple now, threat Rob, match. And
Rob, tell us why this is just a horrible match, because Sami Zayn is not entertaining at all and the character sucks.
No, not even, not even. Well, he does suck, but he's syrupy garbage. He's giving me diabetes. Here's the deal. They could go another way. It would be way out there, but it looks the most logical would be to give it to Trick Williams, you know, first title, whatever. But what you could do is pull the trigger and have Sami Zayn do some dick heel shit. If you have a triple threat match, you could have him do a nut shot. You could have him do something crooked, because they kept asking him, how are you able to do the things you're doing, Randy? And he goes, well, I just put it to the side. Yeah, but that's your best friend. It doesn't matter. So he could do some heel shit, and you have a heel Sami Zayn. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Not likely.
Except for the fact that Trick's a heel.
Yeah, but if Sami Zayn goes even more dickish than that, and now you have to
out-heel the heel.
Well, yes, but then also that allows you to have a long-term storytelling in the backlash with Trick Williams and Sami Zayn. Where you can do some longer storytelling than just Trick Williams just grabs his lemon pepper steppers and just beats the shit out of everyone. that doesn't have much, that doesn't, you know, last very long. It gets boring quick. Have Sami Zayn elevate a little bit. Let's see what he could do. They won't do it because that'd be, that would make him fucking interesting, but.
Yeah. All right.
Sami Zayn connects with audiences right. About as well as your internet about. Connection.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of connecting an audience, these two are going to have a very interesting match, I think.
That's probably the best possible way to phrase it.
Scissor me timbers.
Yeah. Anyway, Jade retains that title?
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They're gonna crown Rhea. And I think that, you know, putting the two the two women along with Jade, after fighting with her for months on end, and then suddenly, you know, if we can't beat her, then let's join her type bullshit. That's it's not going to do anything.
To what they did in AEW with having her team up with Kira Hogan.
Yes.
And, you know, and I forgot the and other
Layla
one.
Gray.
Layla Gray. They yeah. did that for a while. They could end up screwing Rhea Ripley. You know, Kendo's are going to come out. Does Rhea Ripley out wrestle all three of them? I would say only if she gets help herself. She has to have somebody come to the ring and save her. Whether it be Io Sky or whether it be Damian Priest, someone's going to have to come and run interference on her behalf.
Well, you'll probably see Io and someone else along those lines. That would make the most sense. So we'll see what happens with that. Then you had Raw with some stuff going on, including Penta saying that they're going to have a ladder match for the IC title, of course.
Hell yeah.
And this big announcement that it's going to be Seth Rollins versus Gunther. So, is Seth Rollins retiring?
This has made no fucking sense.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, it's pretty interesting that supposedly after Rey Mysterio was injured and after Bron Breakker was injured, that immediately the pivot was to this match. And, you know, it makes sense if they're going to shoehorn this in. But before this week, you know, it was telling that, you know, neither of these guys had a WrestleMania match. And I was beginning to wonder just what the fuck was going on. Couple that with, you know, some of the other women that do not have a match currently at WrestleMania. Hopefully they announce that, you know, some sort of a three-way this week or, you know, something along that way with Io, Asuka, and Kairi. But, yeah, dude, like, now build the match. Now that you've made the match, build the match. For so long, we've been hearing, oh, well, why are these people wrestling about other promotions? Well, why are these people wrestling? Build the match now. And we started to see some of that on Raw, but continue that up through the build of Mania, please.
Right.
I need a sound reason. I need a sound reason, unless you're going to tell me that he cut a last minute deal with, I don't know what's going on there with Mr. Gerbil. If we find out that Paul Heyman put out like an email or something and said, hey, I'd like to buy your services. And then there was a delayed response. I'd love to see something like that. That would be worth it for me. I don't know. I just need some connection there. Am I wrong?
No, you're spot on, man. I think that
fuck now you. That if now anyone that, needs hold on. If anyone needs connection, it's me.
No shit, dude.
Well, actually, Steve, you're frozen on my screen. I can hear you, but you're just got like a weird. Wait, there you're back again. You were speaking, but you're just kind of looking off to the left.
It's not like it matters.
You know what you need, Matt? You just need some cocks. That's it.
There you go.
No, I had my cocks. And the cocks really just did not work.
Well, that's usually happens sometimes. You got to take some salt palmetto, man. Get some, you know.
Yeah, nope.
Works for Frank Thomas.
Doug
Flutie.
All right, Dom versus Finn. It looks like here we go. I mean, is this something that could actually steal the show?
I mean, it certainly could. I would realistically, we all know Dom's going over by some random type of chicanery bullshit. Cheating finish. Otherwise, why even have this match? Obviously, I know that they have to fill out the story, and I get that. But come on, like, what are we doing if we put Balor over Dom at Mania? You have to continue to build your youth movement.
You know what I find, ironic, and we all know this, but the original members of the Judgment Day are no longer in the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
You have the three ones that are still with, you know, WWE contracted, and they could easily make a counter Judgment Day if they wanted to. If they ever wanted to go Judgment Day for Judgment Day.
Oh God, please no. Don't NWO black and white and NWO black and red this shit. The Judgment Day fucking doesn't need that, and it doesn't deserve it.
It's they'll call it the Judgment Week. It's a Judgment Month. Or Judgment Time. You know what time it is?
First of all, Rob, fuck you, because now they'll actually do that shit. Somebody somewhere will be listening to this show, and now they will try to shoehorn that shit in over the next 2 weeks.
Paul, what if we had, okay, just hear me out now, Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, and of course, R-Truth, and of course, Finn Balor as the Time of Judgment or the Day of Judgment versus the Judgment Day. The Day of Judgment versus the Judgment Day. And one team will have purple and black, and the other team will be black and purple. Oh God! You know, I like that idea. I think that's a good idea. That has some legs to it. You know, I think we could do this. The Day of Judgment has arrived. Print up the shirts.
No, just no. just no.
Dave Judgment's a great idea.
My internet it does not cut Rob out. That's the thing that sucks about this.
That's the problem. That's the fucking problem.
Hey, man, we're talking about the Day of Judgment, the new faction. Judgment Day for life.
Okay. Speaking of, this makes sense. This 4 or 8 women tag or 4-team tag for the women's titles makes sense. Gives the Bellas something to do. Gives Bliss and Charlotte something to do. Gives Bailey a match along with Lyra, who needs to redeem herself from last year's fiasco, and gives Lash and Nia, I lost half my body, Jax, something to do.
She's getting there. She's getting there.
Yeah, she's looking very fit. So, pretty decent way to use them in terms of getting people on the on the show like that, you know.
Yeah.
Now I have a question though, because you have almost the entire women's roster there minus the Kabuki Warriors and Io Sky. What's gonna happen there?
I don't know.
Freeway. What makes the most sense at this point is that we'll end up getting a three-way with Asuka, Kairi, and Io. That's what makes the most sense.
If they're on the show,
that's what I'm saying. Like that would be the most logical way to get all three of them on a Mania card, which right. I don't get why Io Sky is not on a WrestleMania card. That's fucking ridiculous at this point. So yeah, it's got, that match has got to get made.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what they're doing with, you know.
I can see that as a pre-show, so as a YouTube show, as a YouTube match.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're going to do any pre-show matches. That's the other thing. I mean, I don't remember if they want to. Did they do it last year?
I think so.
Because I just can't recall.
I genuinely don't remember. I think they've announced 12 matches so far. So if we look at it, that's broken down. That's 6 per night. I could see them maybe over the next week or so adding maybe 1 to 2 matches at the absolute most per night. So I think that I think we could end up getting a total of a 14 match show with 7 matches each night. That would make the most sense. If they wanted to do 8 per night, then they could do that. But yeah, I mean, that does leave the door open to, let's say, one pre-show match per night. Although the pre-show is what, 2 hours this year?
Something
is the
like
pre-show
that.
Actually 2 hours this year? That's crazy.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
They've got to do they've got to do some matches, like 1 per hour.
Right. Yeah. Let's see. And then we got AJ versus Becky. So, you know, that I'm assuming we see Becky take the title.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why not? I don't think AJ had any long-term plans for a long run. She gets what she wants. There'll have to be some chicanery involved. So, you know, AJ still looks good. That makes the most sense. And then she could just do a bow out of the ring. I don't think she's going to leave her sneakers in the ring or anything like that. She just goes.
Yep. Yeah, that would make the most sense. And, you know, then that would allow, you know, AJ to go do whatever else she's going to do, and then Becky to have another run with that championship. So,
yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So then, speaking of championships, again, does Liv take it from Stephanie?
The Gooners main event. I could see them putting that title back on Liv. But ultimately, let's be real. They're not going to change every single title at Mania, and they're not going to have every single champion retain. So, I mean, as a result, the match graphics that we're looking at, the WrestleMania Saturday will be the kind of brown and Fallout looking graphic set. The futuristic blue set will be WrestleMania Sunday. So obviously, you know, keep that in mind. If we see a new women's IC champ, I don't think we're going to see a new champion in that match as well. So realistically, I could see them flipping it over to Liv, but yeah, I think that they'll keep it on Vicar.
If you do it with Liv, you get all of the Judgment Day hoopla that, you know, the Judgment Day is stronger than ever, and I'm the most dominant person. You could be crowning her as the official leader of the Judgment Day, which she kind of unofficially is right now. There's so much more cachet giving it to her. Also, I don't see Stephanie Vicaire cutting as many great English promos, and they're not doing the captions for her, because she could have done like the old Shinsuke Nakamura and have her just speak fire, you know, like, you know, emphatically in Spanish, and do the cool captions and do the smoke and mirrors bullshit. But no, if you give it to Liv Morgan, now you have a new face of the Judgment Day.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. Or the Day of Judgment.
Well, yeah, well, that's shit. The other faction. So then the Day of Judgment will fight. And you already know.
Speaking of the Day of Judgment, man, Obafemi goes over on Brock Lesnar, huh?
Yep. Less than 5 minutes. That should be the real main event. That should be the real main event of that night, but that's neither here nor there.
I want to see Paul Heyman's reaction. I want to see his. I want to see his jaw just. Oh God! No, Brock! Brock! Fuck, Brock! No! Just that'll be awesome.
Okay.
Come on! How good will that be? I want to see Paul Heyman get his ass kicked all night because it's so entertaining when he loses. Because he's just so fucking animated. When he was beat down, he just let his hair grow out white and fucking shaggy and shit. Then when Roman Reigns came back, he had his hair cut and it was back to brown. I mean, it's just fucking, he's such a good actor. So having him lose will be the most entertaining part of WrestleMania.
Okay. All right. I think the most entertaining part of WrestleMania will be John Cena hosting WrestleMania 42. Yes. Yes. He is back. He is back, man.
And you know that there's going to be some sort of weirdness with John Cena and Danhausen at some point during the show. That will be probably one of the best things.
And our truth.
Get all three of them in a segment together.
Ah, Mr. Cena, yes. I am very nice, very evil, and I require monies. So you can get me on the Hall of Fame and give me a title shot and millions of dollars, yes, because if not, you are cursed.
Why can't we get you to paint your face?
I do that every week here.
Yeah, true. That's right. Hall of Fame. This just announced Hogan versus Andre will be inducted as the match this year. Very fitting.
Definitely.
The match that really propelled everything as we know it. But speaking of the Hall of Fame, got to throw it back to last year. And of course,
those fucking eyes and that statue, dude.
Also, the beard looks ridiculous. Like,
oh man,
you should get a refund. Did he go to Spirit Halloween to get that made?
Yeah, he didn't go to Madame Tussauds here on the strip. That's for sure. All right. Speaking of going to Madame Tussauds on the strip, if you pay $10,000, you might get a chance to hear about Madame Tussauds on this trip. Cody apparently admits that $10,000 for the price of the bus tour is a bit absurd. Really?
And the thing is, he mentioned this on Busted Open. So it's not like as if, you know, this was on just some random quick soundbite. Implying that the $10,000 is absurd for the bus ride, because again, it does not include your WrestleMania ticket. And incidentally,
it should have included the WrestleMania ticket.
Incidentally, that shit sold out. So for all of us that have complained and made fun of it and laughed at it and everything, me definitely included, they sold that shit out. So, I mean, people are paying it. More power to them.
I just want to do, I'm going to walk in there and there's going to be an 8x11 of Dusty Rhodes in there. And I'm going to be like, wow. Hey, got that. Hey, can we tell DJ Impact to ask him that question when he sees it? Cause we know he'll be on the bus.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, Mr. Impact, why are you walking with a walker, Mr. Impact? And then Dale's going to be like, yeah, well, you know, they don't tore up my rectum so I can, you know, get the money to sell to buy these tickets to be on the bus with you. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for so much, Mr. Impact.
Yeah, I don't think that you'll be busting out the Cody Rhodes impersonation anytime soon.
And, you know, the list came back on Monday. It was in full force of Stephanie McMahon. He should have brought the lisp out after she slapped the shit out of him.
Right, exactly.
Then he could have started lisping again.
Like she slapped the lisp into him.
Yeah. I was speaking Willem. I'm, oh my God, I got slapped by Stephanie McMahon. This is terrible. But it's still a WWE champion. Could they have him interviewed by Mike Tyson if he wins afterwards?
It's a whole lot of lisping going on.
Hey, Tyson's here in Vegas. So just make it happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then somebody can pay somebody to just come in, like Daryl could come and just squeegee their faces off.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. So moving on to this thing.
Of course, he says this thing.
No, wait a minute. This is where the best come to wrestle.
That's right, supposedly. And you know,
Kenny Omega is the best?
Now, the thing is, I do have to say this about Dynamite. It had a really interesting kind of a match order this week. One would assume that Kenny and Swerve would be the main event. Any show where that is a match, that's a main event. But that was not the case. And the reason that we were given was that Roosh and Darby could destroy the ring, so they didn't know what was going to happen. So that's why they're putting it on last, which is fine if they actually destroyed the ring area, even a little bit. They didn't. It was... Honestly,
also, Roosh,
that was pretty pedestrian in terms of, you know, a no DQ, no countout match. Not, you know, and now, Roosh, mind you,
why am I hanging my head on him?
What's that?
Why would you hang your head on Roosh, who hasn't been relevant in any sense of the word since he was in ROH before they were bought out by AEW? It's like he wasn't relevant. He has been relevant in years.
And the thing is, you at the top of the show, you have Kenny and Swerve that go out and they genuinely did produce a main event caliber match. Obviously, as we saw with the events of the show, they needed that match to take place so that they could build the rest of the show around Kenny winning that match. But then when you have Kenny cutting a promo immediately after, not immediately after, but later on in the night, where he fucking contradicts himself in the middle of the ring. Come on, man. We all know Kenny Omega is a phenomenal wrestler, no pun intended. He is not the greatest on the mic. And that's been, you know, the gimmick for him, unfortunately, as of late. But, you know, he starts off the promo saying how he never called himself a god or anything like that. And then later on in the promo, maybe what, the very next sentence, he actually says that he was known as the god of pro wrestling. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, you know, I've seen TNA matches, AEW matches where they're doing a backyard, like a, you know, backseat stage brawl. And then you hear the director go, cut.
Yeah.
And you go, all right, when you're writing a script.
What's up, brother BKL?
Sorry. Oh, by the way, is Matt going to come back dressed up as Donald Trump? Is that what's
you
going
know,
on?
Hey, you never know. Anything can happen.
All right. I whatever. Hulk Hogan didn't know what arena he was in.
Right? The Silver Dome.
Yeah, I mean, look. It's annoying. I don't think right now I don't think there's any standout mic person. Who would you say is your standout mic person on AEW outside of MJF and Tony Storm? And Tony Storm is gone now.
I'll tell you this. After the backstage promo vignette that aired this week, Will Ospreay is pretty fucking good on the mic. I think that he is very underrated on the mic. Yeah, obviously he can get out there and he can be, you know, everybody's British bruv. Yeah, he can do that. But then he can also cut the impassioned promo where he's pissed off and he's letting you know that he's going to come to beat your ass. Also, welcome, Scoop. Thank you for hanging out with us. Happy April 1st to Brother BKL.
Absolutely. Not quite yet, but soon.
Hey, he might be watching us over on the East Coast. Those crazy fuckers are living in the future over there. You never know.
Yeah. I also like the Protostar doing cutting promos.
Kyle Fletcher is in fact great, but he did leave Collision in a walking boot this week. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not the best Saturday night for Kyle Fletcher, unfortunately. And right on cue. There we go.
Talk about it right now. Good
segue, Steve. Hey, thanks. But yeah, obviously, you know, as was mentioned, there was a tag match with Fletcher and Mark Davis. Sorry, I had a brain fart there for a second. The former Aussie Open against the Rascals. And unfortunately, one of the moves didn't have the proper placement, and Fletcher landed incorrectly, and it kind of came up kind of gimpy with his ankle. So hopefully it's nothing too serious. Haven't heard anything, which take that or leave it. But hopefully it's nothing too crazy that's going to keep him out of action. And also that main event with Kazuchika Okada and Kevin Knight, that was absolutely must see. If you're going to go back and watch anything from this episode of Collision, go back, watch that match. It was chef's kiss. Great stuff. And, you know, also the Ace Austin Tommaso Ciampa match was pretty freaking good too. It's good to see them putting Ace Austin on the TV more. Do it more frequently, man. This guy needs to be on nearly every show. He is way too talented. And I'll say it, Tommaso Ciampa is being used extremely well. Have him take that title off of Kyle Fletcher. And yeah, at that point, send Fletcher.
They might have to, if he's injured, they might have to do an abridged match.
Didn't he just have a title?
Yes, he took the title and then lost it immediately after to Kyle Fletcher, which I said that
when you were out, man. I said you kneecapped this guy immediately. You made him look amazing.
Yep.
He came out with the right entrance. The gear looks good. Everything was on point. You give him the belt. Great. Let him have a few months. What? 1 week?
Yeah, they took a page out of the other company's book whenever they sign somebody from AEW, and they just immediately give him a title. But the problem is that Tony didn't let him have a run with the title. It was literally 2 weeks. And then, like you said, cut the legs right out of him.
Yeah. And when you do that, it makes him look less legitimate, because now he's chasing. I don't want to see a 1 week title holder now chase. You know what it reminds me of? Aleister Black. It reminds me about, and Aleister Black wasn't even given belts. Aleister Black looks just meek, and this guy does now. So if you give it to him, please do. Please do. But then let him hold on to it for a while, because you also make the belt irrelevant when you do that. If the belt changes hands too many times, it's like a paper mache belt. I could go in the ring.
Or a Ring of Honor title.
You know what? No. I know you're making a snap there, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's,
I know.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Now, Ring of Honor was its own private entity. They own it, but the shit didn't cross over. Okay. And then once in a while, somebody from Ring of Honor steps up. That could be their TNA to NXT, Ring of Honor to AEW move, but they're not utilizing it the right way. They're utilizing here's the toilet paper. Here's the toilet of AEW. The hold on. You got a belt. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Athena. That's all I have to say.
Hey, look, I got skid marks on there.
Michaels, I still don't know what the fuck's going on with that.
Well, I'm just, you know, again.
Well, they put her in the back of the bus.
Yeah, and it only cost her $10,000. But at least now she knows her way around Vegas.
If only she would have gotten her Mania ticket too.
Right.
Wish I could sit out in the parking lot and listen to people cheer. Oh, no, it's a closed. Never mind.
All right. NXT had a moment here where Johnny Gargano was the last entrant in a six-man gauntlet elimination match. He literally fell on Shiloh Hill, still keeping up the gimmick, and could not believe that he's now the number one contender to go against Orton's kid for the North American title. Interesting.
I like this.
I like the imaginative nature of that finish, but at the same time, Johnny Gargano weighs what, $150 soaking wet? And you can clearly see in that image that Shiloh Hill has his eyes wide the fuck open. Like he can't just pick him up or do something with the pancake that's on top of him.
Steve, it kind of looks like Shiloh is selling it like his eyes are like in the back of his head type thing. Because that's not just normal eyes.
No. See, what you're missing is look at where Johnny Gargano's right hand is. Yeah. Look at where Johnny Gargano's right hand is. And Johnny Gargano is, playing pocket pool.
He's giving him the old Johnny Wrestling move right there.
Right?
A chokehold on the old Shiloh. Oh, yeah.
A many chokeholds. A little
hello.
So we're gonna see that coming up here at Stand and Deliver, but this tonight was Santana joining OTM to take on Dark State. So that was pretty interesting to see Mike Santana
on WWE. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they had him a little while back when he was, chasing for the title. But, again, they're putting TNA's championship in a prominent light on their show, which is great to see. And it's also an encouraging thing for Santana.
Definitely.
He's finally, getting to be on a television show people watch. After all these years.
No, I mean, TNA has picked up a lot of steam, but how old is he now? Would he be able to have some sort of an NXT or even...
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that he looks young. That's the key thing, is that he looks
young. And as long as he stays relatively healthy, he'll be fine. Speaking of TNA...
Oh, that's not... Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, he's 35.
Speaking of TNA, Buff Bagwell strutted out. And then was interrupted by Kazarian in a nice little segment and then saved by Elijah. But just awesome to see Buff after the leg transplants, amputations and then
amputation.
Getting the
he has a prosthetic leg and he's been interviewed. He says he would like to wrestle again.
That was the whole gist of that interview, was that one day he's going to walk down there and wrestle. And it was, and then of course, Kazarian, comes out and, says something to the extent of, you're going to roll down to the ring or, you're a gimp basically. And it was good stuff. So nice to see him and nice to see TNA doing some good stuff. As usual. Okay, here we go.
All right. So our over-under for the week is realistically, Pac versus Ospreay is going to be the most must-see match. I can already tell you that in advance without even seeing it. We saw the first iteration of it way back at All Out when Ospreay first joined the company, and those guys, they tore the roof off the building. And again, this was when, prior to their viewership and their attendance numbers dropping pretty drastically. So I think that this time around, Ospreay is out there to prove that he has not lost a step. And
great. Now my connection's out.
Well, go figure. You know what, man? Do whatever you got to do and just chill. And there you go. All right. So, yeah, dude, as far as this week, the over-under for the week is Pack and Ospreay. They're going to get the time that they deserve, quite frankly. They should have no less than a 20-minute match. Give this thing the opening segment. Let these guys go out there and show why AEW is where the best wrestle. And yeah, Pac Ospreay is a main event anywhere. Go ahead and show it. You did that formula last week with Swerve and Omega. It worked extremely well for your TV ratings. As Dynamite was higher than they've been in over 2 years. Obviously they got off to a huge start with the first opening segment, which was that Swerve and Omega match. So yeah, why not duplicate that exact formula for success? Give us a real main event at the end of the night too, though, please.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to say that I give it about 7 minutes before Pac gets hurt.
Shit.
So
yeah,
that's the only thing that really stands out in my mind is,
dude, hopefully he, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen, because that really could deprive fans of an excellent match. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Pac definitely does have an injury history, and we all know that Ospreay just came back after being gone, and he's clearly not leaving anything on the table. He's making it all happen.
So. Right. So hopefully he doesn't get hurt as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you know, the idea of, you know, opening the show strong, but you're right. It needs to finish strong too. So that's something that they really need to get right, something that, you know, if you're going to grow your ratings, you get them, you know, maintain keeping people watching. So,
I mean, Tekla and Mina, you could have main evented with that this week on Dynamite, but instead, again, you went with Roosh and Darby Allin as your main event. Yeah, that viewership definitely showed why they need to have a main event in the main event slot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I got word here. We're being joined by a former president of the United States, Mr. Obama. Obama Femi?
You know what? What's going on? How you doing, gentlemen?
Yeah, we're here, man. We're here. You know, just talking wrestling. You know,
welcome, Mr. Well, you President.
Know, thank you very much, Steve. I was told that you didn't like me.
No, I may disagree with you, but at the end of the day, I never said anything to the contrary. And you know, I appreciate everything that that our presidents do. And I always want our presidents to succeed, because if they fail, we fail.
You know what? I couldn't have said that better myself. And I want to thank you for your continued patriotism and your support. And I, too, am a fan of wrestling. You know, I like CM Punk and Danhausen, two Chicago-oriented wrestlers. And, you know, when we're in Chicago, I have Michelle come out all the time and has participated in some of the greatest wrestling matches that a lot of people have ever seen. Are you familiar with her alter ego, Awesome Kong?
Oh, I was not aware. I was not familiar with her game in that instance.
Oh, that's right. You know, back in the TNA days, total nonstop action, my wife, Michelle, was always featured prominently in the ring against the likes of people like the beautiful people, Havoc, and many other knockout legends that we take for granted right now. But Michelle held her own and was, what, about a four-time knockouts champion?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So she did some great things and then came over to the WWE and became Karma. And that's when we put little Malia in her. And she unfortunately had to retire. But wow, she had a lasting legacy that we will all remember for many years to come. So we want to thank you, Michelle Awesome Kong Obama, for your contributions to the Squared Circle. And you know what? That is my message and Michelle's message for, well, we only have a few minutes left of Women's Month here on the West Coast. But we have a campaign slogan for Michelle. Be like Mike. No. I see the reaction. Michelle is a handsome young woman. Where's the size 14 shoe? Could dunk over LeBron and Bronny. And she is what truly makes America great again, especially when she can palm a ball, because nobody palms balls better than Michelle. And hardworking American folks all over this great nation, they know that. They know when we can come together as one, it's when the magic happens. You know, coming together as one is what made my whole family. And it's why we call her Awesome Kong, because she is the king of the jungle. And I want to say thank you, gentlemen, for having me on here tonight and letting the First Amendment ring true. Thank you all for what you do and the contributions that you all make to wrestling.
Well,
thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Very much.
Enjoy your time in Guantanamo. And there he goes.
Excuse me. No, this is bullshit. I don't know why you let. Yo, it's the DEI president. It's the DEI president. I intercepted the communication, okay? I had Pete Hegseth take care of it. We intercepted the communication. This is bullshit. This is going to be the WrestleMania. First of all, people, so many people have said, billions and billions have said even, we need to have Barack Obama versus, see, he's so scared, the liberals scared, Barack Obama versus Donald Trump, because people know, so many people know, Barack Obama is going to get it handled worse than Michelle on a Friday night, okay? It's going to be a molestation, okay? He's going to get his ass beat in that ring like never before. Remember when I beat the shit out of Triple H? We're going to do a takedown. They call it a takedown, okay? See, nobody knows more about wrestling than I do. That's why you notice Barack Obama, he's not a WWE triple Hall of Famer. I am. I've got my ring for beating Hulk Hogan in the Silverdome in 1983 at WrestleMania 5. I've got my second ring for beating Ric Flair, NWA wrestling. Okay. The rap group NWA, they had a backyard wrestling, and it was the N word with attitude. I'm not getting sued. We're not going to get sued by the NBAACP. The NBAACP. We don't want to be sued by them. The N-word with attitude backyard wrestling, where I beat Ric Flair for the NWA title. Okay. Compton backyard. They called it Compton backyard wrestling. Okay. you know, it was such a good thing. And afterwards, after I beat him, I just said, why can't we all just get along? Okay. Captain, why can't we all just get along? Okay. All you have to do, first of all, we passed the no mail-in ballot votes, unless you're the president or golfing or in the military or a senior, which I'm golfing and I'm a senior and I'm in the military, so I get to vote mail-in. But the rest of you, it's legal and it's ruining America, just like the attempts made on the NWA title by Ric Flair, okay? You know, his name isn't even Flair, it's Fleer, like the trading cards. So you're like he, you know, he's not even a truthful guy. It's a fake name. He's a fake wrestler. He's a fake champion. You know, they say, oh, he had 17 belts. I've got 27, okay? We don't talk about all of the times in the Jimmy Crack Corn Crockett Pro Wrestling Association where I beat him for the 38th time, okay? It was me and Roosh and El Idolo Lo. It was versus him and Charlotte Flair and Nick Flair, and Nick Flair didn't show up. I don't know why. And
who the fuck is Nick Flair?
Nick Flair, Xander Flair, Ricky the Steamboat. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He didn't show up. Nobody wanted to tag with him. Wow, Rob, seriously, dope being douche, April Fool. You know what? I don't know who Rob is. We kicked him off. We put on somebody that, quite honestly, so many people, I'm not saying this, so many other people have said this, even Becky Lynch, that this is the most, and you know what, they're saying it on ESPN too, by the way. ESPN said this. You know what? This is the greatest champion. It's by far the greatest champion that the World Wrestling Entertainment Federation, Confederate Wrestling Organization of the Southern Chapter of the Jimmy Crockett NWA and People with Attitude Wrestling Orientation World Wildlife Fund Wrestling has ever seen. It was a great honor, and they posthumously gave me three belts for the belts that they never paid me for. They owed me five belts. And you know, when I got my seventh belt at the new Trump Kennedy Center, okay, and we're looking into calling it the Trump Kennedy McMahon Center. We're thinking about that, the Trump Kennedy McMahon Center. We're going to have, it's going to be great. I don't know what you're laughing for. It's going to be tremendous. We're also going to have a ring in my new ballroom. It's going to have a ring, and there's going to be a 10,000 seating capacity so we can have tits and ass matches there. Is that what they call that group? Because those women like being impacted. It's true. Believe me. Believe it. You know, those women, they call the knockouts championships because after I'm done with them, they don't get up.
Oh, my
and they
God.
And they never complain. They go, Donald, you know, I mean, so many wonderful, the beautiful people, okay? I'm in the locker room with the beautiful, Madison Rayne. Madison Rayne is in there changing, and she goes, thank you, Mr. Trump. You've made my tits and ass great again.
Fuck. You know, I don't know what the hell is going on here.
I mean, you're the host of the show, so hopefully.
What am I supposed to do? Kick the president off?
I don't know what to tell you, bro.
And then Jordan Grace wants to come back to TNA because she wants to be impacted. You know, Jonathan Gresham, he's like 5'3". He's like an Irish wrestler. He's like a little Irish munchkin wrestler. You know, he's like the only black guy in Ireland. And they brought him out to the States. And I said, you know what, Jordan, let's do that. Said, okay, we'll see what we can do. I'll squeeze you in. I'll squeeze it in. I'll squeeze you in.
Oh, man. I guess... I guess all we can really say is
That's a beautiful picture, by the way. Who is that guy? No, excuse me. That's Photoshop, okay? First of all, why does he look like the Godfather? He looks like the Corleone family? What is this? Andolito Corleone? What am I in the olive oil business? But I'll be honest, you know what? Once Jordan Grace saw me, the olive oil was flowing. Believe it.
Okay. All right. Steve's about to tap out. Okay. A little time to take a social media dump. Paul Bearer's son, Daniel Moody, has passed away. He was last surviving member of the immediate Moody family. Condolences, and it's the end of an era for wrestling. Congratulations to Fallon Gray, who got her WWE ID this past Saturday night, who trained in Arizona coming up and is now here in Vegas training for FSW and has great things in front of her. Danhausen wants
of course
a WrestleMania entrance song from Sabrina Carpenter. So
I'm Danhausen. I want Sabrina Carpenter. I want Sabrina Carpenter to sing my song. Only I have $10 and an apple.
Who could ever forget this group of people playing video games together?
Absolutely.
You kind of go, okay, you got Eddie, you got Hogan, you got Benoit, Bray Wyatt, China, Scott Hall, you got the Warrior, you got
what Umaga. TV are they looking at? Like, it seems like
they're playing the SmackDown game from like 1999.
Yeah, here comes the pain, bro.
Is that Pat Patterson?
I don't know.
Like,
who's that next to Umaga?
Is that Bobby Heaton?
I think it's supposed to be Dusty.
Yeah, that's Dusty.
I think it's supposed to be Dusty. Yeah.
AI Dusty is horrifying.
But wait,
and yes, that is the Warrior.
Okay, yeah, I thought that was Danzig or like the Doors.
Danzig or Jim Morrison. Awesome.
Yeah, it's Danzig or Jim Morrison.
Who is that, Rob?
Oh, God, that's got to be Hardcore Holly.
That is Hardcore Holly. Recently posted picture.
I mean, not bad. I mean, you know, just maybe shave that little.
Yeah, but he's 36. I mean, he's still
Thurman Sparky plug.
He still looks more fit at 36 than you, Rob, but, you know. Oh, boy.
Sun's out, guns out.
A little Morgan Love here. Can we just
absolutely?
Yeah.
Hold on, guys. Could you put that picture back up?
No, boy.
As he hides his fucking cam.
Now I've got a wet Morgan.
This is horrible. You see Bailey's ass again.
Well, sign of the night.
Yeah, there we go. And if you can't get enough, oh yeah. And some people come for Bailey's ass, other people come for the wings.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no more Whit Morgan now.
Hellraiser remote.
Oh yeah,
nice.
That's dope.
This is a Samoa Joe and Tater Tots appreciation post. Share if you're a fan of both Samoa Joe and Tater Tots. Oh, man. You may be cool, but you'll never be Rick Rude brandishing a pistol outside a hotel with Big Van Vader in the early 90s. Cool.
Absolutely not.
That is awesome. Holy shit. That's a fucking deagle. That's a deagle.
That was dope.
Hey, watch what you say about Mr. Vader. He's dead, but he can still get to you, man.
Well, I happen to know the president. I'm not worried.
This is apparently, this was Stone Cold's actual hand-drawn design for the vest. And so someone decided to make what it would look like if it was actually converted straight to it.
And, he drew that?
Apparently that was his, yeah, his concept.
I just That's like awesome. Danhausen going, I'm Cold Stone. They think I'm Cold Stone.
Triple H in China from 1999. Good Seems memories legit. There. Yep. McFoley and the Hardy Boys from back then, which was awesome to see.
Oh, man, I'm sure they had a blast.
Oh, the snowman himself.
Did everyone have fun?
Hey, look. Jeez. Oh, it's the newest women's roster member. Oh, she's so adorable. Oh, man. Oh, the fifth grade honor roll. Arn Anderson. Oh, man.
Is that him or his son? They all look alike.
That was him back then. When you have a dual love toilet, you can poop next to each other.
Battle shits.
Battle yeah. shits.
And, of course, our president has been collecting trophies lately. And here's one. Our president getting a medal from Kurt Angle.
Hey, here you go. Who better?
Who the fuck is that? What is that? That looks like the Rob guy, but he's 90 years old and he's got a fucking, what the fuck is this? Find out whoever made this and fire them. Or sue them. Or both.
Both.
Yeah, well, of course, in the big news this past weekend, there was a No Kings rally. And with that, we did see our own president out there. I'll just get Prince Charles to give me the crown. It's nice that he, yeah, excuse it was nice me. That he,
excuse me, I'm interrupting again. He's the king now, okay? He's the excuse me. They're telling me he's the emperor. Emperor Charles.
Well, it was nice to see the president out there. I myself made it out there. The only king of kings is Triple H, of course.
And I know one other one.
Look at the baby hands. Look at the baby
well,
hands.
Well, Steve, screen. You know, now Steve, like you said, you do know one other one, and I saw you out at the rally. of course.
That's good. That's good.
That's funny.
Yep. And, you know,
I agree. I would agree, you know. The only king is Jimmy King or the Lich King, if you will.
I will rule you. Oh, man. All right. There we go. All right. Final thoughts. Rob, are you doing some haha this week?
Yes. I forgot to give you the poster, but this week, tomorrow, or if you're on the East Coast tonight, Wednesday night, 1227 South Main Street, you get to see Kings of Comedy. Our headliner will be Spiro Savelas, who's performed all over the city, Jimmy Kimmel's LA Comedy Club, all over the country. He is amazing. We're going to have Cleo Mack. We're going to have also Mike Stiggs, and I don't want to leave anybody out. Cleo Mack, Mike Stiggs. Just go to Vegas Trump Guy. At Vegas Trump Guy, you'll get to see the flyer. It is going to be an amazing lineup. You won't want to miss it. Locals, you're free. Come in, get some drinks, get some cocktails. It's going to be a beer and a shot, $7, $5 drafts, and sky's the limits after that.
Green tea shots are $10. Steve can attest, pretty good. It's pretty good. It's pretty delicious. And if you don't come tomorrow and support the show with Rob, you will be cursed.
I thought you just said that Vegas locals drinks are free. So I believe Rob is covering all the drinks for Vegas locals.
Well, no, the entrance tomorrow. Is free. Entrance is free.
No, I heard free drinks.
Yeah, that's.
Well, yeah, free drinks with the use of your own credit card or human monies. If you have a credit card or human monies, you can get a human beverage. I believe so.
Brother BKL says, I hope there's margaritas available. Yes, they definitely are available, sir.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. Brother Bob Becklin, BKL. Yes.
All right, Steve, what do you got to say?
All right. I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we'd love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
And I just want to interject right quick. I forgot to mention we will also be having the return of our beautiful hostess, Stella. And two other features, Jay Rivera and Nabil the Extremist. So go check it out at Vegas Trump Guy on my social media, and you can see it all.
Hell yeah.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Bucciarelli dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.